First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. He must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report. We're 1 week away from the new NBA season, so I wanted to get TNT's biggest star to come on the show and talk hoops with me. Unfortunately, Kyrus Cedric wouldn't come on, so we had to settle for an NBA Hall of Famer named Charles Barkley. Charles, thanks for coming on.
I'd rather have Kyrus Cedric also.
She's a star now.
Yeah, that's a really good show. I'm not just saying it because it's on TNT. It's just a really fun show to watch.
Come on, you've never watched The Closer.
Well, I watch The Closer all the time.
Really?
You know, I didn't watch it in the beginning, but we kept bumping into each other, a few of the guys on the show.
Right.
So I started watching it. Because TNT, you kind of get sicker and get sick of Law and Order at some point. So you got to try something different.
Right.
I mean, me and Magic joke around. I think we both have been big Law and Order fans, and I think we've seen every episode ever, like five times.
Well, you should try to get a cameo on The Closer.
We've actually talked about that. I just want to do a cameo. You know, sometimes these people get a little crazy. They want you to, like, I said, I don't want to do a part. I want to do a cameo.
Right.
I want to be like a guy sitting in a restaurant when they're in there doing the scene. I don't want to have to rehearse. I just think it would be something fun to do.
You don't want to play like a former NBA player with a different name who's...
No, that's too much work, bro. Come on now.
let's talk about my beloved Celtics.
Okay.
They're finally relevant again. They made the trades for KG and Ray Allen. Now, you played on the 97 Rockets with Dream and Drexler, and you guys nearly made the finals, but your supporting cast was not quite good enough to push over the top. Can you win an NBA title with three All-Stars?
Yeah. The teams have won it with less than that. I think the difference is these guys are a lot much younger. I think me, Clyde, and Akeem were obviously all past our prime. That's the big difference.
Yeah.
I think all three of these guys are in their prime. And I think it can work because they're all three really good guys. I mean, Pat Riley has a phrase that I love to use when I'm talking about when a team has a lot of talent.
Yeah.
Called voluntary cooperation. And, everybody wants to shoot. Everybody wants to score. All three of them are great players. But they got to make it work. And I think because all three of them are good guys, I think it's got a really good chance of working.
How did you guys make it work on that 97 team?
Well, we didn't make it really work. I mean, if we had got together 3 years sooner, we would have won.
Right.
Because, I mean, think about it. I mean, LeBron went to the finals last year with one All-Star. So it's not about how many All-Stars you have. I just think that they are much younger. And like I say, I think because they're good guys, I think it's going to work. But I think the East has really improved this year.
Yeah.
I think Detroit is going to be there. Chicago is going to be there. I think Miami will be there if both of those guys are healthy.
Any sleepers?
I think the Atlanta Hawks is my sleeper.
I like them, too. They got a lot of talent all of a sudden.
I think they finally got the point guard they needed. I do. I like what they've been doing here the last few years. They had some good draft picks, but they kept missing the point guard.
Yeah.
And I like AC Law. So I think they got an outside chance of making the playoffs.
You know what, though? When you pick in the top seven for 47 straight years, you're eventually going to be good.
Well, you should be.
Yeah. Love averages.
I tell you the thing that the team is going to fall off the face of the earth is probably going to be the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I agree.
I think that I cannot. First of all, they got really lucky last year, and everything fell into place.
Yeah.
And I think New Jersey's going to be terrific, also.
Yeah.
New Jersey's going to be terrific.
At what point does Jason Kidd just start to slow down? Because now he's in his mid-30s. This is ridiculous.
Well, I think the difference between Jason is he plays so smart.
Yeah.
You know, I think a guy can be great longer if he plays below the rim. And he's not relying strictly on talent.
Right.
I think Jason, first of all, he's not, he wins games with his brains and his passing.
Yeah.
So I think that's the difference between him and a guy who can jump over the gym. A guy who jump over the gym or loses his talent, he ain't going to be able to play. But a guy like Jason, who plays with his brains and passing the ball, he's going to be terrific a little bit longer.
You made that adjustment probably about at the two-thirds stage of your career because, you know, people forget this now, but when you were in Philly, especially the first 4 or 5 years, you were just this physical force. And then near the end of your career, you became more of one of those below the rim. You were still a great rebounder. You figured out other ways to help your team. How hard is it to make that adjustment?
Well, it depends on how smart you are. I mean, everybody can't make that adjustment. I think, I was very fortunate. I think my mind really helped me a lot. Because you can only survive on talent for so long. But I think my brain really helped me, obviously, late in my career. But it also helped me early in my career when I was really, really explosive.
Yeah.
But that monkey gets on your back at some point where you can't jump. And you're going to have to learn to play below the rim. And I was just very fortunate.
Yeah, because some guys never, like somebody like Dominique Wilkins, when he lost it, it was just immediate. He was gone. That was it.
Well, I think, not just talking about Dominique. Anytime a guy loses his talent, if he don't, not used to playing below the rim, it's going to be very difficult on him.
Do you think it's easier, though, to extend your career into your late 30s because of all the stuff they have now and the Pilates and all this different weightlifting programs and the way guys take care of their body and they don't drink on the road and they don't eat the bad foods? Like, do you think you could have played into your early 40s if you hadn't had that injury?
No, because my body, I had already worn myself down in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
KG, and if you're a KG or an Allen Iverson or somebody like that, I'm trying to think of somebody else.
Kobe.
Not Kobe. Kobe's never carried the load on a team before.
You don't think the last 3 years counted?
I do, but he didn't carry the team his first few years in the league.
Right.
I'm talking about when you're on a bad team and you're getting your brains beat in every night and you have to carry the team every single night. That's the difference.
Yeah.
Myself, KG, AI, it's a little bit different when you have to make every big play every night in every game. And the thing is, when you're playing basically 4 to 8 minutes a night.
Yeah.
I think that's a little bit different.
Well, looking back at your Philly career, definitely the last 2 years, the team just wasn't good. Was there a point that the situation really started affecting you? Because I feel like that's what's happening to Kobe right now.
Well, I think the difference is, Kobe, he could have handled the whole situation with Shaq a little bit differently, and they could have won a couple more. I think if you look at it realistically, they should have won more championships.
Yes.
Those are two of the guys, the greatest players to ever play this game.
Yeah.
For them to only win 3 championships, they probably underachieved.
I agree. I think it was that whole era was a failure because, especially the 2001 team, which just, I think they lost like one playoff game, the second title they won. And it really seemed like they were going to win every title for the rest of the decade.
And they should have.
Yeah.
My deal was, if I had my druthers, people said, do you have any regrets? I would have got out of Philadelphia 2 years sooner.
Right.
I should have got out of there 2 years sooner because, once you start playing like, Kevin Garnett's in the same situation, AI, they're on the downside of their career. Are they still great players? Yes. But what they were 5 or 6 years ago, they can't ever recapture that. But that's because I always tell people I was a much, much better player in Philly. But I just had more help when I got to Phoenix with Dan and KJ and those guys.
Yeah, you got boned over for, what was it, the 1990 MVP?
Yeah, the one Magic they got from me.
He should give that one to you during the show.
I always tell him that.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Because you had not a very good team, and I think you won like 47, 48 games.
Well, the only thing that bugged me about that, to be honest, which is I got all the first-place votes.
Yeah.
And no second and third-place votes. Reporters, sometimes reporters, they make it personal. My problem, what I had was I got the most first-place votes, but I didn't get any second and third-place votes.
Yeah.
So guys, you know, you either got to be, depending on who you are, you got to be first, second, or third.
Right. Well, you know, it probably evened out because you won and you won the MVP in '93 when Jordan was still at his absolute apex.
Yeah, but I don't think it should go to the best player. I think it should go, because if it's going to go to the best player, it should go to Kobe. But the MVP should go to the guy who had the best year on the team, who had the best record.
Right. So in '97, when the year after the Bulls won 72 games, so they win 69 the next year, and then Karl Malone wins the MVP over MJ. At that point, I think they should have just figured out a new way to do the award.
Well, I'm not sure what happened at what kind of year did Utah have?
I think they won like 62 games, something like that. Chicago won the most games.
They won the most games? Well, yeah. I probably wouldn't agree with that either.
Yeah, the media definitely, I think this is one of the reasons why Kevin Garnett might win the MVP this year, because so much of it has to do with who's getting the most attention, who's getting the most features written about them, like, is the situation different? And with somebody like Kevin Garnett, if they win 50 games, and
well, I don't think Kevin, you know, it's going to be difficult for Kevin to win MVP because he's probably going to be the third scorer on that team. Those other two guys are better offensively. I think Kevin's probably Kevin has been a better player overall, but those other two guys are bona fide assassins. And well, you know, and Kevin probably the worst part of his game is probably scoring.
He'll still get the. Who's going to guard him in the East, though?
Hey, they'll
Chicago,
guard you.
Detroit.
Hey, Detroit. He gonna have his hands full with Rasheed Wallace. You know, Shaq is going to be clogging up the middle down in Miami. Mm. I mean, it ain't easy. Trust me.
I was watching them against the Knicks the other night, and they had Zach Randolph and Eddie Curry in there. And I was thinking, like, well, neither of these guys can guard Kevin Garnett, so this is going to be good during the season.
Yeah, but I tell you what, both of those guys can flat out score.
Yeah.
So it ain't gonna be no cakewalk.
Hey, let me ask you this: everyone's looking for reasons to pick against the Spurs again, which is just ridiculous to me. If they stay healthy, do you see any way that they don't repeat?
Well, I think you got to wait and see. I think it's going to be, you know, are they the favorite? Of course. I think the two things that surprised me, that Dallas didn't do anything and Cleveland didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And but I pretty much pick the Spurs every year.
It's smart.
Because they're the best defensive team. They got plenty of offense, but they're the best defensive team. That's why I pick them.
Well, I actually wrote my magazine column about this. Really, the only reason not to pick somebody to repeat is if you think that the year after they're not going to try as hard, or they're going to lose their focus, or whatever. This Spurs team, the way it's built, that's just not going to happen.
Well, first of all, the three best players are all relatively young guys.
Yeah,
and that's the first thing you got to figure out. But like I say, they're the best defensive team in the league. And my first two criteria, if I'm going to pick a team to win, was how well they play defense and how well they rebound the ball. And the Spurs are probably the best in the NBA at those two things.
And what about the coach?
I think he's the most underrated coach other than Jerry Sloan we've had in the NBA.
Yeah.
Because I think that Jerry Sloan hasn't gotten his credit because he hasn't won a championship. And, you know, when people talk about great coaches, you know, Bill Parcells won two championships. You know, Jimmy Johnson won two championships. And people look at those guys like great, great coaches. Now they're doing the same thing with Bill Belichick. But when they talk about great coaches, they never mention Pop.
It's amazing. I don't get it. Because clearly he's the best coach. By any calculation, he's the best guy currently working as a coach in the NBA, I would think. I mean, maybe you make an argument for Phil Jackson, but...
Well, you can't leave out Pat Riley either.
Yeah, but at this point, I've been hearing Miami...
Pop just has the best talent now. You can't take away what those guys... I mean, Phil Jackson won 9 championships.
I'm talking about right now, though.
Right now, Pop has the best team.
Hmm.
I mean, it's about the players. All these guys are good coaches, but... they ain't good coaches with bad teams.
I still think to keep a team that focused for most of the decade, because they won in 99 and they won in 2007. It's a 9-year span. Riley was able to do that with the Lakers. But it's just, I think it's easier to win one than it is to keep winning. You know what I mean?
It's a lot easier to win one.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but Pat Riley's won five.
Yeah, but I keep hearing how the Miami guys just hate playing for him at this point. It seems like he's kind of a quick fix guy.
Hey, listen, trust me. They hated playing for him for the Lakers. but the guy's a great coach, and you can't take away with him. To win five championships is pretty damn impressive.
If you had to play for one coach, who would you have played for? Who do you feel like you missed out on playing with?
That's a great question. I've never been asked that before.
I'm going to ask you a lot of stuff you haven't been asked.
I personally would have liked to have played for Jerry Sloan.
Really? Interesting. Yeah, he does seem like one of those no-nonsense guys that just every year he's going to extract the most possible that he can get out of his team.
Yes, definitely.
And then, which is funny, like you put somebody like Karolinko on his team who's like a basket case, and Sloan has a way of like weeding those guys out, you know? Let me ask you this. Why aren't more people talking about the Nuggets as a potential contender or even somebody that can win the title?
Well, I think people worry about their defense.
Even with Kenyon Martin back?
Well, that's why I haven't ruled them out. I want to see how they're going to play, but it's going to come down to Allen Iverson and Carmelo's defense.
Yeah, that's a pretty good point. I'm not excited about either of those guys' defense.
I mean, it's really going to come down. I mean, Marcus Camby's going to be fantastic. Kenyon can come back and play defense. But the two best players on that team are obviously AI and Carmelo. Yeah. If they don't play in the defense, it's not going to work.
Yeah, you know, I look at the landscape, and it's easy to make cases, and you can make a case for Houston and Chicago and all these teams.
No, you can't make a case for – I mean, I'd take my chances with Utah – and Denver before I took Houston.
I agree. Well, that's what I was saying. Like, you know, Houston is the big preseason sleeper, and some teams that people think the Celtics might. I really think that only like three or four teams could realistically actually win the title: the Spurs, the Suns, the Nuggets, and maybe the Jazz. I don't think the Mavs didn't do anything. I don't see what's different about them this year than last year.
Well,
it's somebody
else. But Utah, the thing, you got to look at Utah, how they're going to react to having success. Because now they're going to have expectations.
Right.
And that's really going to be the key. See, I always tell people, you know, we talk about in sports, sophomore slumps. I said, first of all, there's no such thing as a sophomore slump. They just didn't know who your ass was.
And then,
you know, you see the Saints are going through that now. You know, like, it's different when you expect it to win, when you can't slip up on people. I'm curious to see Utah play. I'm curious to see Denver play. Those are two teams in the West that I'm like, I want to see how they're going to respond to last year.
Yeah. I actually, the one team in the West that intrigues me is Memphis. I don't think they can win the title, but I kind of like all the guys they have. And, you know,
well, you got to figure out what kind of system Iverone is going to use.
Yeah.
Is he going to try to do the Phoenix thing?
It's not unrealistic that they would be good, though, because it seems like he might be a good coach, and they have a bunch of good guys in that team. And other than the top five, the West isn't that good, I don't think.
Well, I think they got some good players. I mean, you got an all-star in Pau Gasol.
Yeah.
You know, I saw the kid, he had a triple-double last night, Lowry.
Yes.
You know, we're still waiting on Rudy Gay.
Could be waiting a while. Let's talk about how much the NBA has changed since you played, because this drives me crazy. These days, you aren't allowed to talk smack. You aren't allowed to knock somebody down. You aren't allowed to commit a hard foul. You're not allowed to bang bodies. Guys are hugging before and after games. Everybody likes each other. Do you think the competitiveness of these games has been compromised a little bit?
Well, I definitely think it's, you know, I hate to see guys hugging and kissing before and after the game. They can go to dinner after the game. I mean, we tried to beat the hell out of each other. And then when it was over, we went to dinner. But we tried to kill each other when we were playing. But it's frustrating for me sometimes to see guys hugging and kissing before the game and then hang on the court and hug and kiss after the game.
Right.
I mean, if a guy just kicked your butt, you don't want to talk to him right away. You want to at least go calm down a little bit. But like I say, it's just a different game. These guys are very talented, but it is what it is.
Yeah, but don't you feel like it's turned into soccer a little bit? All the flapping.
You know, hey, man, I'm a brother. We're not big into soccer. I don't know what the hell they do in soccer.
Well, like, look at, like, the Philly-Detroit, some of the games you guys had were, like, literally fistfights and palpable hatred, and the Detroit-Chicago games, even the Boston-Detroit games. And I just feel like that element is gone. I don't know. I never feel like any team dislikes the other team in that. They're just kind of playing basketball.
Well, I think the Spurs and the Suns just like each other by now.
Yeah, that might be true. And maybe the Suns-Lakers a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, but I just think that the good teams, I think if you look at the good teams, they keep it pretty much strictly business and professional. I think most of the teams who like hug and kiss aren't good teams.
Yeah, but you don't feel like the game is that much different.
Oh yeah, I think you know they're not out there. You know they don't have the animosity during the game that we had toward each other.
Right.
Yeah, they definitely don't have that.
I don't like it. Well, another thing I don't like is the current playoff system, and I think you're with me on this one. Why didn't the NBA have the balls to blow up the playoffs, throw out the conferences, come up with 16 seeds and make it more like March Madness instead of this current system where we have to watch Chicago and Detroit play every time, every spring for the next 10 years, basically?
Well, I think, you know, the biggest question you got is the integrity of the regular season.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't charge these fans and a great amount of money for 82 games, then blow up the playoffs, and then get matches people don't want to see. I mean, you got to make the regular season matter. That's the biggest thing.
Well, how would you do that?
I actually like the current playoff system. I actually like it. I don't see anything wrong with the playoff system. I'm actually, for the first time in a long time, excited about the NBA. As far as, like, I think the teams on the bottom have really gotten a lot better.
Right.
Now, they contenders? No, they're not contenders. I always worry about the integrity of the game when there's so many bad teams. And for the last 10 years, there's been a lot of bad teams.
Well, and then you get the tanking that goes on in the last month of the season, which is
well, they could, you know, I gave them a suggestion. And that could stop the tanking.
What is it?
Just give everybody the same number of balls. That's the only way to do it. You know, you don't reward teams for losing, giving them more balls. But every team in the lottery gets one ball or the same number of balls, however you want to do it. That's the way to do it.
I'm on board, and I actually wrote the same thing. The reason they don't do that is the year that Weber went to the Magic, although they traded him, the year after they had gotten Shaq. And everybody kind of freaked out like this was some sort of terrible thing that had happened. But actually, what's so bad about having Shaq and Weber on the same team?
Well, you know, it depends on they didn't want him in Orlando. I bet they were going to New York.
Yeah.
You know, that'd be the thing. If they were going to New York or L.A. or something, they wouldn't have complained. You know, they didn't want those two great players down in Florida.
Yeah. Do you feel like the league is not reacting fast enough to some of the problems that it has?
No, I think David Stern reacts to every problem.
Well, he didn't handle the tanking, though.
Well, you know, there's no – well, I will say this. Because of Durant and Odom, this is probably – been the worst tanking since Hakeem and Ralph. Well, that's two other tank seasons.
Yeah.
The David Robinson season.
Yep.
That was the worst ever.
Right.
And the Tim Duncan season was a tank job also.
Hey, I went to those Celtic games that year because I was living in Boston, and we were playing Antoine Walker at center.
Yeah, but this was the worst since then.
Yeah. Well, maybe because there's not that many. I don't think there's really a can't-miss guy coming out in this draft, so maybe it won't be as bad. Hey, when LeBron had his 48-point game last spring against Detroit, everyone raced to compare him to MJ. And I feel like we've reached a point where everyone's starting to forget how great Jordan was. With the new hand check rules and the rules against knocking down guys and all that stuff, how many points a game do you think Jordan would have averaged in his prime if he was playing now?
Well, Michael averaged, I think the 1 year he averaged like 38 points a game, didn't he?
Yeah. So, and that was with the hand check rules weren't the way they are now.
I know. So if he's going to average 38, I mean, nobody close in the NBA is averaging 38 today.
Right.
I never compare anybody to Michael Jordan. I think it's a joke.
I agree.
I was just sitting there watching like, why in the world are they not taking the ball out of his hands? I was embarrassed, you know, for them to sit there and let one guy score 28 points in a row, 29 points. He scored 29 out of 30. So somebody else got to make a play somewhere, don't they?
Right, and then they fixed it in Game 6, and Daniel Gibson just destroyed him.
Yeah, and it was too late then.
Yeah. Yeah, that you're right. It was Game 5 that it would have been. When you were on that first Dream Team, I've always been fascinated by it. Just that whole dynamic of that team and the fact that you guys, really, like, that will never happen again, what happened. But there's a famous scrimmage where Jordan and Magic pick sides, and for whatever reason, it turned into a heated game, and everybody agrees it was the greatest secret game that was ever played. What do you remember about that game?
Well, I just remember it was intense. It was great. And it was about pride and ego. I mean, everybody was trying to prove that they were the better at something, at their position. It was pretty damn cool and amazing. I mean, it wasn't just like that. It was like that every day at practice.
Right.
Everybody wanted to prove something. You know, me and Carl were going at it to power forward. You know, Clyde and was going at it with Michael. You know, Scotty was trying to hit. You know, I think that was right around the time that Michael them had beat the Lakers.
Yeah.
And Magic was trying to go at Scotty because Magic had got locked up in the playoffs. He had David Robinson and Patrick Ewing trying to go at each other. It was just, you know, the competition. Because the guys were considered the best at their position, guys were out to prove it.
And you actually emerged from that whole summer as probably the best player in the team, right?
Well, I was the second best player on the team.
I mean, statistically and all that stuff. I just remember when that whole thing happened, everybody was like, "Wow, this Barkley guy's pretty good." And it was like, "Really? The guy? He should have won the 90 MVP." You're just realizing that Charles Barkley was good.
Well,
weird.
The game was always easy for me when I played with better players. Because even though, you know, when we were sneaking in Philadelphia, you know, the first time I got Mike Jaminski, you know, we won the division.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was going to war with Manu Bol and Shelton Jones. He wasn't working out for me. But, you know, but the next year they got me, Mike Jaminski, and Rick Mahorn. We won the division. And then, you know, then obviously when I went to Phoenix, I got Kevin Johnson and Dan Majerle, and we made it all the way to the finals.
I was going to ask you about that team because I am convinced that that is the single best team that didn't win the title. That was a great team. And you just had bad timing. You went against a Bulls team where Jordan was just at that point where just nobody was going to beat him. Do you ever think back to that series and wonder what could have happened differently or what you could have done or think about this break or that break or whatever?
The only thing that bugs me is like when we had three possessions down the stretch and we called three plays for me and they took the ball out of my hand three straight times. I think Frank Johnson shot an air ball.
Yeah.
I think Dan Majerle shot an air ball and somebody else turned it over. But I couldn't score against because when Horace Grant and Scottie Pippen double-teamed me, first of all, that team was so good defensively.
Yeah.
But Scottie's long arms and Horace Grant's long arms, the only thing I've ever regretted was like, I should have tried to score on both of them, to be honest with you, but It was just I didn't want to play like that. If I get double, I'm supposed to. We had made it to the finals with me passing the ball.
Right.
Yeah, that's the only time I've ever thought about that.
You know, that
and
was,
a lot I made that.
Well, I always feel that the best team is usually going to win the series or the finals or whatever. But in that case, I feel like if you guys had played 10 times, the Suns would have won 5 and the Bulls would have won 5.
Well, I think that the thing is, I always tell people, when teams are both real good, once we, like that's, you know, they were complaining in Phoenix last year, you know, when they lost to the Spurs. I said, well, you lost the series the first game.
Yep.
And I'm like, even though you came back and it was a good, exciting series, I said, there's certain games, especially when you got the home field or court, whatever, you're like, we got to win this game. It's going to set the tone for the whole series.
And with you guys in 93, not only did you lose the first two games at home, but Kevin Johnson in the first two games just didn't show up, and he didn't really get going until game 3. And that I thought that was one of the biggest reasons you lost.
Well, I think, man, it's a really tough. We kind of got we were nervous going. They were nervous going into the game, and that happens. Ain't nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, that was. It's my favorite series to watch on ESPN Classic because of the matchups and the guys that were on the court. And you look at what happens now, and you look at that Cleveland team that made the finals last year, and maybe two guys from that Cleveland team other than LeBron even play in those 93 finals games. Even somebody like Oliver Miller was, that year that he was in shape, was really a really decent center.
Yeah, he played well. He helped get us to the finals.
Yeah, Dumas, all those people. Who's the best NBA player you ever played cards with?
Best NBA player I ever played cards with. Man, I don't even know the answer to that question. We played cards so much.
Come on, there's not one person that stands out?
No, because you got to get good cards. I mean, that's not, I always tell people, there's no such thing as a good card player. You got to get good cards. But we played cards all the time, man. It's such a long bus trips. You know, in Philadelphia, we bus to New York, New Jersey, and Washington.
Yeah.
And in some of those flights, when we started taking charters, we had some good ones.
I'm disappointed. I thought you were going to say like Rick Mahorn was the most unbelievable card player, man, or some
man. There was so many good card players. The problem was some guy who people never heard of. To be honest with you, I just can't remember.
Right. What do you miss most about playing?
Just the competition.
Yeah.
You know, it was interesting. I was telling this story with Bill Russell's fantasy captain last week.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. You know, I'm watching, you know, Magic, Jerry West, John Havlicek, myself, Dr. J, Kareem, walk around, and, you know, our bodies are pretty much shot with all the damage you do to it. But it was really cool for me last week to see all of these old guys playing basketball. It was really cool.
You know, you're one of the guys that everybody mentions about, like, you never won a title and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that all the time. And especially with the Kevin Garnett and the Ray Allen and the Paul Pierce, they get together this year, and it's like, yeah, we finally had a good team, finally have a chance to win the title. You know, now your career's been over for almost 10 years. Do you feel like your career was incomplete in some way because you didn't win a title? Or does it not matter?
Well, you know, it matters to other people. I mean, but there are people better than me who haven't, you know, always, you know, every year you see the list.
Right.
And I see, you know, I see Dan Marino on it. I see myself. I see Carl on it. I see Gale Sayers on it.
Elgin Baylor,
Dick Butkus. I mean, there's such a list of guys. Jim Kelly. So, hey, I'm honored to be on a list with those guys.
It seems like the one thing that you miss out on is that if you do win the title, it seems like it's fun to see the other guys like 20 years later and stuff like that. But why wouldn't that be the case like with the 93 Suns? Like, you guys still had a great season. Wouldn't it be fun to get together with those guys anyway?
Yeah, we always get together. I think the only, Well, first of all, it only has effect on the great players, to be honest with you. Because, you know, you hear people talk about guys who are good, solid players across the board. And, you know, people say, well, he had a great career. It's only that the great players will come back and say, well, he was a great player, but he never won a championship. They never said that about bad players or guys who are just good players.
Right.
So the championship thing only affects a guy like myself and Carl and John or Dan Marino or, you know, like he said, up until last year, they said the same thing about Peyton.
I was just going to say that, yeah.
So the championship thing only, it only goes if you're a great player. I mean, nobody ever tells Todd Helton, you know, I'm using him because, you know, they're playing. Nobody's ever said, oh, he's a great player, but he never won a championship. They just say he's been a great player his whole career.
Yeah, and it's like if somebody says that about somebody like you, the implication is that you weren't quite good enough to win a title. Well, the reality was that 93 Suns team would have won in 94 or 95 and possibly beaten at least one of those Bulls teams in the 96.
Well, I like our chances. I would have liked our chances in the NBA today, too.
Yeah. Well, I was going to ask you about that. Do you think that I feel like the glory years of the league were 84 to 93, just because there weren't so many expansion teams, and the talent was just
ridiculous. Well, I think expansion hurt the NBA.
Yeah.
I think also kids coming out of high school and not staying in college long enough has really hurt the NBA.
Right.
Because when you're in high school, you don't know how to play. You're just bigger and stronger than everybody else. That's what you learn how to play when you're in college.
Well, what would have happened to your career if you came out, let's say, instead of 1984, you were in 84 or 85 draft?
84, 85.
Right. So let's say you come out 15 years later and you're an 18-year-old kid in Alabama and you have the choice to go to college or to make the money right away. What do you do?
Well, I'm saying you might take the money, but you don't know how to play.
But would you have taken the money, do you think?
I don't know. I can't answer that question because I'm talking about the level of basketball.
Yeah, no, I know.
No, I just think you don't know how to play at 18.
Yeah.
Nobody know how to play at 18. I mean, come on. You can't tell me all these guys who went pro were better than Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Charles Barkley, Karl Malone. We probably could have went pro at 18 if it had been available, but we still wouldn't have known how to play.
Well, and I think the other part of that is that it really would have hurt you guys, or at least some of you guys, from a career standpoint, because you...
Well, it's definitely hurt a lot of NBA guys.
Yeah, because we don't know. Like, I still look at those, especially the early mid-90s, there was a lot of career tragedies. But somebody like Kenny Anderson, you know, if he was in a different system and he plays 3 years in college and comes out and he's not making $9 million a year right away, that's somebody that could have been one of the great point guards ever, and we'll never know. Yeah,
I mean it has. I just think it hurt the development of the players.
Yeah. All right. Last thing. You other than myself, you're the only person who seems to realize that Kevin McHale is one of the greatest players ever. Explain to the young basketball listeners out there what made Kevin McHale so great and why what he did is such a lost art now.
Well. I'm not sure it's a lost art anymore because I really comparably now Tim Duncan and Kevin McHale to me. Tim Duncan just a little bit more athletic,
right?
But as far as being unbelievable on the box, lefty, righty, ups, unders, they're to me the same thing. Tim Duncan just a little bit more athletic.
Do you think if McHale had his own team, his career would have been remembered differently, or did he luck out?
No, because, you know, if you look at all these teams that are remembered, I mean, they had, like, tons and tons of great players. You know, like, that's like when I was at the fantasy camp last week. I'm like, you know, Bill Russell plays with Sam Jones and John Havlicek. Bird played with McHale and Parrish.
And Dennis Johnson.
The greatest, but I'm saying that's the greatest front line ever. You know,
yeah.
You can't, I don't think any guys, no, this ain't a knock on the guys I play with. You know, I didn't play with any of the Hall of Famers, realistically.
Well, you did early in your career. And
yeah, but I wasn't even Charles Barkley then.
But Doc retired, and then they traded Moses Malone from you.
Yeah, but they were past their prime, and I didn't know how to play in the beginning.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, I don't hold it against guys. Like, it ain't Kevin Garnett's fault he hasn't won a championship. The 1 year, I mean, think about it. The 1 year, they only gave him help 1 year, and he had a great year, got all the way to the conference finals.
Right.
And if they had given him that type of help every year, he would have got to the finals.
So if you switch Kevin Garnett and Tim Duncan 10 years ago, does Garnett have the success Duncan had and vice versa?
Is David Robinson on the team?
Yeah, I'm going to say Garnett's playing with David Robinson from 99 on.
Yeah, they win a couple championships. And I think if you give Tim Duncan, Parker, and Ginobili, they still right there too.
You mean if you gave Tim Duncan Sprewell and Cassell? That 1 year.
No, they probably could have got to the finals because I think Parker and Ginobili are better players.
Right. Yeah. Well, it's always like a weird thing. I'm not sure Tim Duncan gets quite enough credit, to be honest, because I just think he's the best
from
player
who?
In the league. Well, it seems like people think like Parker and Ginobili and Popovich and I don't know. Duncan, historically, I'm not sure how he's going to be remembered. I don't know if people consider him to be on that same class as Kobe. I'm talking about the average basketball fan. As some of these great guys that we've watched over the last 20 years because he's not that exciting and a lot of the stuff that he does.
Man, anybody who knows basketball knows it.
I agree. I'm talking about the average fan.
Hey, man, the average fan don't know a lot about basketball. Well, let me admit, most fans don't know a lot about basketball. All they know is points, rebounds, and scores.
Yeah.
You know, but Tim Duncan, if you know anything about basketball, the guy is going to go down as the greatest power forward ever. So you can't say nobody knows if he's the greatest power forward ever.
See, I don't think people would. I think there's a lot of people out there who would make a case for Karl Malone, as amazing as that sounds. I think it's hands down Tim Duncan's the best power forward ever. But I think people make a case for you. I think they'd make a case for
Well, then those people would be wrong. I think Tim Duncan is the greatest power forward ever.
How many years do you think he has left in him in his prime?
Probably two more. You know, because, you know, the wear and tear is going to get to you at some point. You know, I think once you get past 30, 31, 32, maybe 33, you can peak. But that's it.
Right. All right, so for the finals, you have the Spurs over who? In the East.
I also like the New Jersey Nets.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. I like the Bulls. I don't know why.
Bulls can't score enough.
I don't know why. I have no explanation. I just think that they're young and they're going to play defense and they.
Yeah, they still got to score.
Yeah, you don't think of Leo Deng?
What now?
You're not sold on Deng?
I like Deng and I like Gordon and I like Howard, but that's only 60 points.
What if they get Kobe in January?
Depends on what they give up to get Kobe.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing I think is going to be interesting is where Sam Cassell ends up, because you know he's going to get bought out in January. And if he ends up on a team like the Celtics, I think that transforms them a little bit. Possibly.
Now, it's going to be interesting because he's got to play at a faster pace. He's going to play with those three guys.
Yeah, that's true. All right, Charles, thanks so much for coming on. We look forward to watching you on TNT with Kenny and Magic and Ernie all season.
All right, my brother, I look forward to it. You be safe.
All right, you too.
Target's a sign off. Whoa.
Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at Podcenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.